Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best in the business. Service department great. Sales staff great. Product line great. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and we look to the Islanders.
Here's a break down the side. Lee shoots. Scores! The captain buries it, and Anders Lee has the game's first goal. It's 1-0 New York, just shy of 7 minutes into period three.
The Barclays Center comes to life as the Islanders take the lead in that game. Our play-by-play call of the day. Midwest and Danville wrestling because of the snow, postponed until tomorrow. Chris kept saying, gone. I mean, like, Chris can't do that.
Gone.
Shikellamy basketball, postponed until tomorrow.
Gone.
In its place, Penn State Rutgers basketball tonight. 7 o'clock will be the tip-off, 6:30 the airtime. Now, let's bring in somebody who has retired all of his Duck Hodges gear and was ahead of the curve before anybody else on the Duck Hodges lack of dynasty, and that is Neil Kulon.
Great to be here as always. Happy New Year to you guys as well.
I found it interesting. It did not take long in the end for Mike Tomlin to say, Mason Rudolph's our backup quarterback. In other words, you saw what we saw.
It's kind of funny because you said the same thing after Hodges came in to replace Rudolph earlier in the season. It really kind of came full circle, didn't it? I mean, at the same time, I think it ended up being exactly what we thought it would be. I mean, it's in the NFL, there are a lot of different ways to win. There are a lot of different ways that you can make a team win. One game at a time. Maybe you catch a break, the ball bounces the right way a couple times, you put together a little bit of a winning streak. But a three-game losing streak with at least your backup quarterback, if not your third-string quarterback, is going to be pretty much inevitable. And I think it's odd to me because you put it together against the Steelers season in which they had, I think 2 years in a row now, they've had seasons in which they missed the playoffs. They were at or a little bit above 500, and they both had like 5-game winning streaks and 4-game losing streaks or more, something like that. Just really, you're just not given a great sense of confidence week in and week out with the Steelers team. And this year was a living demonstration of that. And it was good in a lot of ways. It was terrible in a lot of ways. And I think if you mash it all together, the end result is 8-8. You know, it's kind of a gray finish, and that's really, I don't know, looking back on how we could have expected anything else. The route in which we got there, I think, is perhaps a little bit surprising. It was fun. It was terrible. It was a lot of things at once, but in the end, we finished kind of where I think we figured we would.
Yeah, it's interesting because somebody brought up, now after watching the Eagles game, and Nate Sudfeld's the backup quarterback. I think people forget that. And he was hurt. So they had to go to the third guy, who spent most of the season as the second guy, Josh McCown, who after 17 years in the league forgot that if you throw the ball in fourth down, and turn it over, who cares? but somebody said, how come there aren't more people investing money in quality backup quarterbacks in the league because of the attrition rate? Neil, there aren't enough guys. They're not even 32 starters in the league, let alone backups.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand to what degree people think that that's even close to plausible. They're investing plenty in backup quarterbacks. lot more than backup anything else, perhaps in any other sport. The problem is, it's not even the backups that are the issue. There are probably only 8 really good quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, it let alone the backups. I mean, there's an argument to be made that maybe some of these guys would get better if they had more time, if they had a structure in which they could work and get reps. Because, you know, even Mason Rudolph, let alone Duck Hodges, were not getting reps when Ben Roethlisberger was healthy. Their job is really to stay loose and prepare the starter to go out and play. That's more of a backup quarterback's job when they're not in a position to be, you know, kind of a future starter or a lead horse for another guy. If there is an established quarterback, the backup's job is to help the established starter play. Because, well, that's just what you do. You dance with what you brought. You can't really, in a salary cap league, you can't put a huge amount of resources into a backup in the possibility that the starter might get hurt. That's just the way that it goes. You can get away with that with a running back, a linebacker, because these positions are ones that history bears out. You can find all over the draft. You can find reasonable replacements for low cost and free agency. It's interesting we're talking about this when you brought up Josh McCown. The Eagles basically had to fly to wherever McCown was to beg him to come be a backup.
Yes,
with the idea in mind that you'll never play. We don't want you to play. I think McCown obviously knows that. He's there for what he brings to help prepare Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz has had worse injury luck than just about any quarterback in the NFL. It's not a question of providing a game-ready, startable backup quarterback. If they had that, he's going to be a starter somewhere because there aren't really very many good starting quarterbacks. So
And that's Matt Moore, Kansas City, because Matt Moore, they had to beg him to come back and be a backup.
Yeah, and Matt Moore's been a backup for I don't know how many years. He certainly had his opportunity to start to get a starting job. He's not a starter, but he's a guy that provides a great level of experience. Of insight into helping prepare the starter to go. And if he has to play in the middle of a game, he can go in and get something of a job done. That's really all they're looking for. If it's a guy to start 6-7 games, you know, you've got what you've got, but odds are not in your favor. So you have to find the starter, and you have to prepare with that, because that resource just is extremely limited and a lot more valuable than anything else.
Very interesting. It was a weekend where you did not, you know, the Patriots did play, lost, but neither New York team is in, Los Angeles is not in, and the ratings were higher than ever, and the highest rated game of the weekend, I believe, was the Texans-Bills game. You've got the number 5 market in the country, Houston. Buffalo is not. What does that tell you about the positioning of this league? Because that it's not just about one or two teams, but about the fact all of it's good.
Honestly, I would say this. If anything, I think this is the year of the casual fan. I think it's a year in which the best team, I don't want to say came from nowhere, but I don't think anybody expected the Ravens to be the type of team that they are now. Pretty competitive, maybe, but not 14-2, not odds-on favorites to win the Super Bowl. And they did it in a very crowd-appealing way. There are a lot of people that really like watching the Ravens play. They're fun to watch. They're kind of a casual interest team. It's not a big market. It doesn't have a huge amount of history. But people like to watch a team like that. I think that's been kind of the mentality of the league this year. There hasn't been a real dominant team that we're used to seeing dominant. We saw flaws in the Patriots pretty early on. People were used to that. We saw the Cowboys kind of go on a roller coaster ride. The Steelers were like that as well. A lot of the teams that are there now are young. They're up and coming. That brought in, I think, a sense of refreshment to fans of the NFL. Combine that with, in my opinion, what has been a much more accessible league this year than it's been in the past, particularly in the playoffs. The streaming options that they had available, I think it made it a lot more open for fans doing whatever to be able to tune in, and those are going to get counted to some degree as well. People, I think, always watch the playoffs, and certainly it's a product that a lot of people still tune in for, but it just feels like there's more of a reason to do it now that they're different reasons now. They're newer reasons. And I think that trend is going to continue. I think even Tennessee, which has to be among the bottom three marketable teams in the NFL for a variety of reasons, Even they're interesting to watch. I think they match up really well with Baltimore. I think that's going to be a great game. There are a lot of people that are going to tune in for that. And it's even more interesting that CBS, they have the Chiefs and Houston at the Chiefs and Houston are the ones that are getting Romo and Nance, right?
Yes.
They're putting the best broadcasting crew on the earlier game, probably because you have star power on either side to choose from. You really can go with Mahomes versus Watt, which is something a lot of fans are going to want to tune into, versus Lamar Jackson in primetime. These are great matchups. I think people have a lot of interest beyond just their normal, insane, obsessive fan mentality. There's fun football to watch in these playoffs, and I think people are going to continue to tune in because of that, not so much because of loyalty and or excitement / disappointment for their own team.
I'll say that the Houston-Buffalo game brings up something I've talked about before, where I feel one of the biggest mistakes ESPN made was when they took Monday Night Football. They could have simulcasted on ABC and ESPN, right, and kept it as an ABC-ESPN entity, but they went solely with ESPN. And the ratings and the quality and the games that they've had have not been great either. I don't think it's any coincidence that they got a good game and they put it on both ABC and ESPN. And I think that's something they need to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense, right? I mean, you want to be able to get in front of as many eyeballs as you can. From ESPN's perspective, I would imagine they would be the ones to not want that. Even if their brand is what splashed all over the ABC feed of it. I mean, even if ABC itself, brought in more viewers than ESPN's broadcast of it would. They represent themselves as a collective entity in a lot of other ways. It only makes sense that they would do the same thing there. But, I'm not a high-level business person. I just know that I'm going to watch something that's easy to find,
yes.
Whatever that happens.
Right, exactly.
I'll do it. And I think there are a lot of people that probably feel the same way. And in the end, though, I mean, the ESPN, the production is terrible. Their broadcasters, I really hate getting after broadcasters about things. But
Thank you.
It's really they don't make it a whole lot of fun, And I'll contrast this to Romo, and I also don't like being the pro Romo. Broadcasting wasn't invented until Tony Romo took over. Those people bug me just as much. But when Romo makes a mistake, or Romo is wrong about something, or he says something, it just doesn't come out right. I'm sure those situations happen. He's able to do it in such a charming and funny way. You almost want him to screw up because it's entertaining. It's funny. He makes the game so much more likable to watch, and I don't think any of the broadcasters really do that, certainly not the ones pulling for ESPN right now. I mean, they're going to have yet another new crew next year, I'm sure. This might have been the worst one that they've had, but the broadcast of ESPN in and of itself is not worth watching. It's not destination TV because they don't make it fun. Fans want to watch every single game that Tony Romo is a part of now, and they did not say that about him as a player, and they're not a whole lot of guys that can turn an excellent NFL career into an even better broadcasting career, and that's what Romo is doing. So if you're ESPN, if you want to do anything, you bring out five Brinks trucks full of money, take it to the driving range or wherever Romo is going to be in March, and don't let him leave until he signs for $70 million or whatever it's going to take. That's the move if you're ESPN. If not, you take that money on down the road and find Peyton Manning. They have to do something. They can't have Booger McFarland again. I mean, that's just... He was worse than Jason Witten. I didn't think that bar could have been lower.
Yeah. Who are your picks in the four games this weekend?
I'm having a horrendous playoff betting go of things right now. So I'm going to say this, and I strongly recommend everybody pick the opposite. I really like what Tennessee can do against Baltimore. Baltimore's a 9-point favorite. I got to think Tennessee's able to cover that. I think Tennessee is going to hang with them. I think that's going to be a 4-6 point game. But Baltimore's ultimately going to win. You'll see it be competitive. I mean, Mike Vrabel's really got something with these guys right now. It's a lot of fun to watch. Kansas City is just better than Houston is. I don't think Houston should have beat Buffalo. I don't know why officials aren't allowed to call the rules the way that they're drawn up. We have to ask New York if it's okay to allow touchdowns now. Can't have that. Can't have a guy just dropping a ball in the end zone on a kick. Buffalo should have won that game. Sean Watson's really hard not to like, though. It's really hard to bet against him. But Kansas City is just a much better all-around team. Minnesota presents a really interesting matchup, I think, with San Francisco. I think San Francisco is definitely a better an all-around team, or at least they should be. I'm not entirely sure that Garoppolo is really all any better than Cousins is. And you look at receivers, mm-hmm. that's definitely Minnesota. Running backs in terms of depth probably goes to San Francisco, but Minnesota, Dalvin Cook's a pretty good running back. They
yes,
do a lot
is.
Of things with him. If he's healthy, that's a tough team to beat, and they were going all out defensively. They played a great defensive game overall in what was, in my opinion, a massive playoff upset. You don't see mm-hmm. -8 go to the underdog very often in the postseason.
Right.
Minnesota did a great job. I got to think that they can give them a run for their money, too. I'm trying to remember what the spread is off the top of my head. I'm not against picking Minnesota in that right
yeah.
now. I think they're on to something as well with their team. It's tough to bet against a team to kind of take one on the chin toward the end of the year and sort of reboot themselves for the playoffs. And I think that's what Minnesota did with a brutal
yeah.
loss to Green Bay at home on Monday night. I think they're kind of correcting
yeah.
themselves. You get into the Packers, too, which version of them is going to show up.
Right.
Hard to say if Aaron Rodgers is going to return to become the Aaron Rodgers that we know that he can be. He's tough to gauge this year, but I'm not going to bet against him right now. Seattle, I don't know how many times I've been on this show saying I'm not sure how to bet them either. It's the ultimate pick game for me. Russell Wilson he's doing things right now we shouldn't do. He's a one-man team. Closest thing we've seen to Steve McNair, I think, in the NFL since he retired. Really hard to bet against him. If anybody can go into Lambeau and beat a Packers team first-year coach, I think it would be Seattle. So it, whatever with Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to take Seattle in that game. And Minnesota at Seattle for an NFC Championship game would be the least likely scenario we could have thought of. But you know what? I think that might happen.
Happy New Year, Neil. It's always great to have you back with us.
Definitely. Happy New Year to you guys as well. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulon, USA Today. We'll come back with more in a moment. We are in New Jersey because Chris felt it would be best that I was out of state.
God, I hate New Jersey. So, of course, I would send you there.
They all speak highly of you as we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. You have no idea what it was like for me to sit here during the commercial break.
I'm never coming back. I don't think I'll be invited back anytime soon.
Oh, not on my part. I enjoy working with you. So but it's just one of those, we can't play back what you said.
My lunacy.
I mean, I never knew of anybody who had a depth of appreciation for New Jersey than you. I felt like it was July at Summers Point.
As far as I'm concerned, the only good thing that happened that comes out of New Jersey is Bon Jovi. All right, let's just put it that way. Bon Jovi, Frank Sinatra, and on Sundays when the Jets play, and even that's a disgrace most of the time. So there you go.
Your team plays in New Jersey.
Yeah, but they're a New York team. They're the only true New York team. They belong in New York.
It's funny. Every time I walk into the rack, the Rutgers Athletic Center, the rack, I always think that for 2 years, the Nets played there.
That's crazy.
Well, they were playing there because they were building the Meadowlands at the time.
Right. Well.
So they needed a transition time until the Meadowlands happened to be done. Now they play in Brooklyn. Penn State played in that building earlier this year, too.
Well, I mean, I think my hatred for New Jersey is because I used to be a Knicks fan. I've given up on that whole entire franchise about 10 years ago. The Nets are actually a good franchise. The Devils are a better franchise than the Rangers.
Right?
Like, I just hate New Jersey. I just they want to be Long Island. That's what it is. I can't deal. I can't.
It's more of a... It's more just of a dislike.
Boo! That's what I say to New Jersey.
trying to smooth this over with all the people that listen to us online in New Jersey.
Ooh, I don't care. Call up 1-800-795-9565.
Yeah, I'm the one that has to deal with. But I'm the one that has to deal with them, not you.
Yes, I'm not here the rest of the week. Enjoy. I'm gone for the rest of the week. Have a good time. Bye-bye, Steve.
All right. Final half hour coming up.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, I figure for me. I don't know about you. Great to have you with us on the show today. Your News Radio 1070.
Don't sit around in a cold. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here in New Jersey, by the way. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined by the greatest Jersey advocate out there and evidently a part of the Trenton Chamber of Commerce, Chris Helia.
Yes. Yes, I will be running for mayor of Paramus, New Jersey.
Of Trenton. It's Trenton. Okay? It's not Trenton. It's Trenton.
Right. Yes. Nothing makes me want to throw chairs more than watching Jersey Shore, okay? If that's what you put out there as your representation, yikes.
I never saw that show.
Yeah, well,
not
you're.
Once.
Let me tell you, you're a way smarter person for it.
Oh, my goodness. And to all of the great fans that listen to the show online in New Jersey, hi.
Yes. My phone number is... No. Text me personally.
It's okay. We've put it on the website.
Right.
All right.
All of a sudden, we get a big spike on the website. What happened? A lot of traffic from Jersey.
Very heavy, and not only that, doesn't seem to be complimentary. All right, so it drew reaction. Wasn't quite what we were looking for.
No, no.
Tonight, Penn State will take on Rutgers here in New Jersey, and that will be here in Piscataway tonight at the Rack at 7 o'clock. We're on beginning at 6:30. Rutgers is 10-0 at home this season. And Penn State will play them tonight at 7 on at 6:30. Now, Shikellamy basketball was supposed to be on tonight, but because of the inclement weather, that Shikellamy basketball matchup is now gone.
Gone.
They will play tomorrow instead.
Mm-hmm.
Midwest Danville Wrestling is now, for tonight, gone.
Oh, God.
They will wrestle tomorrow. But Penn State basketball, very much in the present.
Yes. Now,
20th ranked Nittany Lions take on Rutgers tonight.
So let me ask you this. So I'm not a huge college basketball guy until right about now. Like, usually around February, I'll pick it up, like heading into the tourneys and whatnot. But I just realized now that Rutgers is, like, no longer a Big East team. Like, when did that happen? Yeah.
2014.
God, like, see, this is why I don't like, I didn't like college football until about 5-10 years ago, so.
I was kidding around, I think it was with Dave Revson the other day, and I said, you know, Dave has three high schoolers, which, by the way, three potential now kids going into college. So Dave's not retiring anytime soon. And so I was kidding Dave that you don't teach your children through sports. And he says, so what do you mean? I said, well, I said, the Big Ten has 14 teams, the Big 12 has 10, and the Dallas Cowboys are in the NFC East. I said, you don't teach your children through sports. Although my son Dan, when he was growing up, had struggled initially with colors. Right? You know, so you know how I taught him his colors? Football helmets.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Because Dan loved football. Dan loved football. So I had the NFL media guide, and on the inside cover of the NFL media guide back then, they had all the helmets and how they, you know, not just drawn out, but, you know, with the exact color. So, you know, I'd point to the Giants, blue. I'd point to the Jets. Back then they were green. They're back to green, I guess, now, right?
Yep.
Green. You know, Green Bay, yellow.
Confusing.
Again, you know, you rarely teach your children through sports. Dallas, silver. You know, and I'd go through, and that's how, you know, Kansas City, red. That's how I taught Dan his colors.
That's a good way to learn.
It made it more enjoyable for me, I know that.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know which major city in all of sports in America where all the major sports teams within that city share the same colors? There's only one.
I would say Pittsburgh.
It is Pittsburgh. It's the only one. They don't have a basketball team, so they don't have the four-way, but they do have three out of the four major sports. They all have the black and gold or black and yellow.
They're all black and gold.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all black and gold.
Yep.
Every one of them. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Because, I mean, what Dallas is silver and blue, the Cowboys, right. And the Rangers are blue and red.
Yeah, and the Mavericks are like
the Mavericks
blue and green.
Are blue and green, and the Stars are green and white.
Right.
And so I was just there. That's why I just thought about that.
There you go. Yeah, no, New York has got all different kinds of things going on. I mean, they're all kind of variation.
They also have more teams.
But they're all variation of red, white, and blue, sort of. But, like, the Mets and the Islanders have an orange kind of thing to them, and the Knicks have the orange. And yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Yeah.
And the Jets and Giants don't play there.
Right, and the Jets and Giants play in Jersey, which I love.
Right. So, you know, I mean, your team, the Jets, playing in Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go see them play a home game, you have to go to
Jersey. Believe me, I know. Believe me.
Just want to make sure. Have you been to that stadium?
I've not seen a game at MetLife Stadium because I did live in California for 10 years. So the last game I saw was at Giants Stadium. So.
Okay. I did one game. Well, I did a couple games in the old Meadowlands. But I did do one game in MetLife. It was in 2013 when Penn State played Syracuse.
I hear it's pretty great.
What a fabulous facility.
Oh, yeah. I hear it's great.
Oh, my goodness. It's a great facility.
Yeah. I haven't even been out to Citi Field for the Mets yet either. Actually, the last game.
I've only driven by Citi Field.
Well, the last game I attended at Shea Stadium was the last playoff game ever played at Shea Stadium, where Carlos Beltran looked at strike three with the bat on his shoulder in game 7 of the NLCS with the bases loaded. Thank you.
And once again, more bitterness on the air.
That's what you can count on from me. Degenerate gambling and bitterness. That's it. They go hand in hand, don't they? Come on.
And I have to admit, to your credit, you're coming through. So, you're doing the expected. Oh, my goodness. I was talking with Patrick Chambers this morning about the Palestra. And I don't know how it came up, but about, you know, how special it was. And I said, you know, it's interesting. I said, the last time you were there was 2017. I said, and I did a game in late December at Madison Square Garden. It was an 11 a.m. game with St. John's. And Penn State ran off 25 unanswered points at one big. But they played in Madison Square Garden on, like, December 19th. I then did the Rose Bowl on January 2nd, and on January 7th, I did the game at the Palestra. I said, I have a picture of each one from my seat and the press pass above it, and I've got it framed in my office.
That's cool.
Where you go, Madison Square Garden, Rose Bowl, Palestra.
That's pretty awesome.
All in the span of 2.5-3 weeks.
That's, you said, can't ask for better than that.
I mean, that was that, you know. It was interesting to see Jerry World because, I mean, I'd been to it, but had not broadcast a game in it. And that was a great experience.
Really? Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, for the most part, Dave Revson and I were talking about this on Saturday. And because Dave had never done a game in the Palestra and always had wanted to. Told me he almost went to law school at Penn. Hmm. And he said, I've been going in here all the time. He said, I probably would have flunked law because I would have been in this building all the time. and of course, the building lived up to expectations because it was so loud and, you know, and the intensity of the game and the crowd and everything. And we're talking about venues. Because he had just been at the Rose Bowl with BTN for Wisconsin and Oregon. And he said to me, you've been just about everywhere. I said, yeah. I said, but there are two places I haven't been. And he said, well, the two places. I said, I've never been to Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke. And I've never been to Fog Allen Fieldhouse at Kansas. I've been almost everywhere else. Oklahoma football. Yep, I've been in that stadium. Covered a game in that stadium. Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, you know, Cotton Bowl now. I mean, Fiesta Bowl. I mean, I've done all those games. Madison Square Garden. Yeah, I haven't been to Pauley Pavilion, but there's no real lure to me to Pauley Pavilion. Hmm. I mean, there really isn't. I know that's where UCLA played and the whole thing, but Fog Allen Fieldhouse and Cameron Indoor are two legendary places. Those are about the two places I haven't been. You know, I mean, I was in old Boston Garden. I've been there. I'm talking about the old one.
Right, right. Well, you know what I find most interesting about all of these places is that there's a certain history to them, and that's true. But, like, I have found, like, I haven't been nearly as many places as you have, and most of the venues that I've ever visited weren't for sporting events. They were for concert events. But out of all the sporting events that I've attended, I have found that the biggest holes, like the worst, like, venues in terms of aesthetics and amenities and things of that nature are the most electric places. Shea Stadium was so electric, like, during the playoffs. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Nassau Coliseum, which I hate the Islanders, but I went to a playoff game between the Islanders and the Rangers, and that was one of the most insane scenes I've ever seen in my life. And then the topper was Oracle Arena in Oakland.
Yeah.
And they were playing the Wizards. It was a nothing game, and it didn't matter. That place was the most electric place I've ever been to. And none of those places are aesthetically pleasing at all. They have nothing. They're basically holes in the ground, and yet, like, they were amazing to see a game at. So what have you seen? Like, do you see, are any of these places that you're describing just, like, basic shacks, but they're just amazing to be inside of?
Well, like, the Palestra was built in 19... They laid the cornerstone in 26, but it was built and opened in 27. There's no air conditioning in there. Okay.
Yikes.
But filled up like that, it was so electric. It was, and the fans are right on top of the game. Now, Williams Arena in Minneapolis, that's also one of the five oldest buildings in the country. That was built, I want to say, in 28. And I'm okay with it. I mean, it's like, to me, it's okay. You know, it's like, I'm not really... I'll tell you, St. John Arena at Ohio State. They don't play there anymore. Now, that's one of those. People have asked me what my favorite arena in the Big Ten was. You know, outside, you know, when you leave home. And I said, St. John Arena at Ohio State was always my favorite. And they don't play there anymore. They play in a modern 19,000 seat arena. Now, this is fine. I mean, it's a nice building, beautiful building. And people get into it. It's just, there was something about St. John that I thought was really, it was cool. Fans were on top of you, even in the upper deck. You felt like they were on top of you, and I thought it was a neat place. Rupp Arena. I've done a game at Rupp Arena, and it's really, it's 22,000 seats, but you feel like there's been so much history there, including Villanova Georgetown. in 1985.
Oh, that's where that happened. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you feel like, okay, that's a cool place. I've done a game in the Dean Dome. I've done games in some really neat places. I think it just depends on the place. I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of people, Assembly Hall in Bloomington, and I don't know, what have I done, 20 games in there?
Right. It's old hat now.
Well, it does get to be that way. You know where you're sitting.
Right.
You don't have to guess.
Right.
You don't have to guess. But I was never enamored with that place. I just kind of looked around, just thought it was weird. They've done a lot of work to it, but like almost all the seats are on the sidelines, including the upper deck, and it's kind of swooped up on the sides. And you know, I look over in the corner, and I can see John Cougar Mellencamp standing in the corner. Okay, great. You know. Well, no, he goes to. He's a season ticket holder.
I'm sure.
Oh no, their indoor football facility. He donated the money. It's Mellencamp Pavilion.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of celebrities in their practice facility. I'm sure there's a lot of celebrities in pockets around the country that they just kind of hide out, and this is what they do now. You know what I mean? Like John Cougar Mellencamp's not a big deal anymore, really. I'm sure he would still get, you know, mobbed in a crowd or whatever, or people would still,
But he lives in Bloomington,
cool.
Just outside of Bloomington. He has for a long time, so when he goes to a game, it's no big. It's like, hey,
right.
John, how are you?
Right.
You know, which is the way I think almost all of them want it.
Oh, of course.
Want to be, you know, hey, Chris, how are you? Yeah. Good to see you. Great to have you here, Weiss, Chris. That's great. You know, hey, I'm from Jersey. Don't hold it against me. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
So, by the way, did you see the paper had Matt Cotrillo and Lisa and Luke as one of the three couples with New Year's babies?
Wow.
See that?
Yes, Luke learned a hard lesson in pain the other night, though, apparently.
Oh, really? What happened?
Watching his dad and his team lose.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes, in Luke's life, the Eagles are 0-1. All right.
Yes,
so.
They are. But yes, I did see that, and you know, that's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, and Luke looked incredible. Lisa looked tremendous.
Yeah.
Matt looked like he was worn out. All right, so
he sure does. I mean, isn't that kind of his general like?
Hey, he looked like he always does.
No. Hey, at least he's not from Jersey. That's all I can say.
Are you sure?
No, now you got me questioning it, man. Come on. Why did you do that? Not cool.
I did it because I found out over time I can mess you up.
You ain't messing me up. I think he's a dyed in the wool Pennsylvanian. I feel very strongly.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'm sticking with it.
There you go. Okay.
Hey, I have a child. I have a child that was born in New Jersey. So, because I happen to live there, I'm not pleased about that either. But I still love her. So, I mean,
all right. Well, you say so.
No, right. I do. I mean, I feed her less than the rest. But I
oh, brother! Wow. Okay. Well, tonight Penn State will play Rutgers. At the Rutgers Athletic Center. It is a sellout tonight. Rutgers is 10-0 at home this season.
And they're 11-3 overall. Penn State, of course, comes in at 12-2, 2-1 in the Big Ten, and ranked 20th in the nation in both polls, 17 in the net. And the net is significant because that is a key metric that is used by the NCAA selection committee. It's one of the, you know, there's a lot that they use. And one of them, though, is the newly formed net that came out for the first time last year. And Penn State is 17 in the net heading into this game tonight. So it's a 7 o'clock start. It is a 6:30 airtime. Excuse me. And Shikellamy basketball will actually be moved to tomorrow night. Midwest wrestling with Danville moves to tomorrow night. So the suit went home at 2. You go home at 1. You're not even sure what time you left.
What are you talking about? When I left?
The suit. The suit left the building.
No, I mean, he was actually here. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. He was actually here until... he may still be here. He was here at the start of the show for sure. But...
Pacing?
Yes, he was definitely nervous about something. how he's gonna get his Porsche down the mountain tonight because of all the snow. That's what he was pacing about.
That's why he has a driver.
I hope he figures it out, and I hope
he figures
it out. Driver.
He has a driver that can take him home.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, I mean, all do.
Look, when you're big time, he's big time now. Yeah. There'll be a point, Chris, where you too will have a driver and you too will be big time.
No, yeah. I think I'll just
and you know going to be really.
Go ahead.
And you know what's going to be really neat about the driver? Is all of us are going to get together and he's going to be from Jersey.
He sure is. He sure is. And I'll be 75 and I will have nothing to do with it. I can't do anything about it.
Back in the Sunbury Motors studio tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news.